You are listening to Youth Beat Radio. I'm your host, Samantha Widener. When was the last time you spent a day playing in the woods? Forgetting time, staying out until dark, and ignoring words of warning from your mother. Simply being a wild child. For most of us, it's been quite some time. And we're not the only ones. All across the nation, children are spending less and less time outdoors. This phenomenon is known as Nature Deficit Disorder, or NDD, and it could have a dire impact on our generation's youth. As we briefly discussed on a recent episode of Youth Beat, Richard Louv coined the term in his book, Last Child in the Woods, and it is quickly developing into a concern for parents everywhere. While not an actual medical disorder, NDD refers to the noted trend among children who seem to be spending less time outside and more time in front of screens and electronics. Some causes of this phenomenon include restricted access to natural areas, addiction to the plugged-in culture, and parental anxiety about safety outdoors. Children simply aren't allowed unrestricted outdoor play like generations past. Because of these restrictions, children are becoming increasingly disconnected from nature, and it has led to a wide range of behavioral problems. Children who do not spend enough time outdoors are prone to depression, anxiety, and attention deficit disorders. In turn, these children receive lower grades in school and are unable to cope with stress and adversity. Behavioral problems are not the only issues facing children with NDD. Childhood obesity seems to be linked with this trend.
Hey, what's the big idea?
The Institute of Medicine has observed that obesity in children ages 6 to 11 has tripled in the past 30 years. Suffice to say, our children are at risk for having shorter lifespans than their parents and grandparents. While this outcome seems bleak, there's plenty we can do to fight NDD, and it starts right in your own backyard and community. The first step is to get children outside and away from the television screen. Allow children to spend time playing outside in the backyard. Encourage imaginative play instead of formalized play. Imagination and nature are extremely powerful together and can provide hours of fun. In a world of make-believe, talks a lot, a huge reason for the NDD trend is a lack of access to natural areas, which is an even greater problem in larger cities like Columbus. Not everybody has a backyard suitable for play, especially those children living in the inner city. Fortunately for us, Columbus has an amazing metro park system. Scattered throughout 7 central Ohio counties, there is sure to be one close by to you. The metro parks maintain 16 natural areas and parks and manages over 26,000 acres. They feature educational programs for all ages and are a perfect way to combat nature deficit disorder. Youth Beat reporter Nicole Jackson discusses this and more in her interview with Three Creeks Metro Park naturalist Jill Snyder. Stay tuned to learn some simple ways you can combat nature deficit disorder in your loved one and in yourself.
Hi, I'm Nicole Jackson, and today I will be talking with Jill Snyder, a naturalist at Three Creeks Metro Parks. How are you doing today?
I'm great, thank you.
Before we get started with discussing the natural play area programs available at the Columbus and Franklin County Metro Parks, how did you get started with your naturalist career?
As a kid growing up, I always spent time outside. It was one of my favorite things to do was go play in the creek or play kick the can in the neighborhood. I was outside a lot, and my family went camping a lot as well. So I think I always just really enjoyed nature and the environment. So when it was time to go to college, I decided environmental studies was kind of the direction that I was headed. I went to Ohio Wesleyan University up in Delaware, Ohio, and their environmental studies degree is a dual degree, so you had to pick a second subject area, and I chose zoology so that I could spend time with animals. For a while, I debated whether I wanted to be a teacher or a zookeeper, or, you know, I wasn't exactly sure how I wanted to be involved in environmental studies, but what actually got me to this point was, while I was in school studying the environment and studying animal stuff, I started working seasonally for Hamilton County Park District in Cincinnati in their maintenance department. So I was outside in the parks, loving it. I also did some seasonal work for the Cincinnati Zoo doing education, and kind of decided that the naturalist field where I could do education in the parks was kind of the best of both worlds for me, and that's where I went from there.
With the school year coming to an end soon, kids are going to have way more free time during the summer. Why do you think it's important for kids to play outdoors?
I just think it's such an important part of connecting them with the world around them. Giving them an appreciation for how amazing the trees, the flowers, the animals, all of them are, and how well they have to work together. And as a parent, I really appreciate that the more time they spend outside, the more it wears them out. They're tired, they're ready to go to bed. You know, they're able to focus and sit still a little bit better. When it is time to settle down, I think that being outside lets them blow off some steam too.
In terms of the metro parks themselves, how did these natural play areas come about?
I would say about 5 years ago, Metro Parks decided to get involved in designing natural play areas. We've always worked so hard to make sure everybody stays on the trails. They don't turn over any rocks or logs. They don't pick anything. You know, we've got all of these rules. And that's when Richard Louv's book came out about nature deficit disorder and the fact that people just weren't connecting with the natural world. They weren't getting outside and spending time enjoying and appreciating nature. So we decided to create areas within the metro parks where people were allowed to go off trail, climb a tree, sit in the woods, turn over logs, and just get out there and explore. So we picked a couple of areas within the parks where we kind of thought there's no animals there or plants there that are going to be super sensitive to people bothering them or being in the area. And so we picked those spots and let people just kind of have at it. One of the things that we looked at was Dayton. Five Rivers Metro Park in Dayton has natural play areas. And so we did go over there and kind of see what they were doing to see if there was a way that we could model our natural play areas after theirs.
Are the natural play areas in every Columbus Metro Park, or are they just in some of them?
We have them in 7 metro parks. And when we originally started, we picked 5 parks to kind of almost pilot the program. So places where we thought that they would, again, work well for the plants and animals in the park. The staff there was accepting of the idea, and we knew that the visitors would be able to get out and appreciate them.
I was able to attend one of the natural play area programs with you, and I noticed that there were more children than adults present. So are these programs just for children?
It's not just for children. When you talk about natural play areas, I think that's often what we think of are, oh, playgrounds, someplace to take my kids. But really, everyone's encouraged to get out there and enjoy it, whether it's adults who are just looking to kind of relive their childhood, bring their kids out or their grandkids, and show them how to play hide and go seek or climb a tree. Or if it's college students who are trapped on campus all the time and get to actually get off campus, get into the woods and be back in nature. And then we also try and encourage adults to get out there too. You know, the trails are pretty busy here in the parks, especially at Three Creeks. So it's nice to be able to seek some solitude. So you can go off trail, find a nice quiet place to sit, look at birds, read a book, and just kind of get back to nature.
I know that all of the metro parks are different in terms of features. Are the natural play areas different in each metro park as well?
When we were originally establishing the natural play areas, as I said, we tried to kind of pick places that we weren't going to bother too many plants and animals. But we also realized over time that there were certain things that people really liked to do. So several of the park's natural play areas have a creek or a wetland or some sort of water feature, you know, so you can get up, take off your shoes, go splash it around. High Banks, Sharon Woods, and Prairie Oaks all have some sort of a water feature in their natural play area. Three Creeks, where I work, ours is all pines, which initially sounds kind of boring, but the nice thing about it being a pretty solid pine forest is there's not as much undergrowth. So you don't have honeysuckle, poison ivy, the brambles and things that make it a little hard to go off trail. So each of the parks kind of has some of those different features, whether it be a ravine or a field or a meadow. We try to have some differences among them.
You mentioned poison ivy, and do a lot of parents have concern about their children playing in these play areas?
There is. That was when we started our natural play areas. We originally picked these places and said, okay, go play. And nobody went and played. And we decided that a lot of that had to do with people's fears. You know, for so long we have been stuck in this. We stay on the trail. There's dangers if you go off trail. So we realized that we needed to be aware of people's fears and to try and educate them about what's out there and what they really need to be concerned about. So we started telling them about, you know, what does poison ivy look like? How can you avoid it? You know, wearing long pants, washing off when you get done, you know, what to look for in terms of ticks or other insects that you need to be aware of. I think a lot of people have misconceptions about what's out there. They think there are venomous snakes. There aren't. They think there are spiders that can hurt them. They're not. So trying to just kind of dispel some of those misconceptions about the dangers that are out there, helping to kind of drop those concerns, got more people out into the parks.
Do you have signs available for parents and visitors to see so they know where to find these natural play areas?
Again, when we realized that people weren't using the play areas, we thought, okay, how can we get people out there? So one of the things that we've done is we've put bulletin boards up along the natural play areas. So there's a sign that directs you to it. On the bulletin boards, we try and post, you know, what does poison ivy look like? Here's some tips for, you know, how to dress, you know, in the wintertime, making sure you wear lots of layers. In the summertime, make sure you bring water with you. So some of those safety tips. And then also on the bulletin boards, we try and provide tips for what to do. So ideas, you know, okay, don't just go wander in the woods, but look for wildflowers or animal tracks. So some ideas for what you can actually do in the natural play areas. And then also we decided that maybe we need to teach people. You know, it's been so long since people have been out there playing in the woods, so showing them what to do. So a couple years ago, we started offering natural play area adventure programs, like you went to yesterday, where people can actually go and we play hide and seek. We turn over logs, we build forts, and just kind of get people comfortable with being off trail. The first program I did, I'll never forget, I had probably 50 people show up and they just walked down the path And, you know, I was trying to get them to go off the trail. And so when they went off the trail, they still just walked directly behind me as if they were on a trail. And it wasn't until I kind of stopped us and went over what we were going to do and I forced everyone to play a game I call Raccoon Babies, where they go and they hide in the woods. And it's kind of like sardines, and, you know, parents and kids alike, everybody ran and hid. And then all of a sudden, they thought, okay, I can do this. And you saw them start to kind of wander off on their own or climb a tree and become a little more comfortable out there. There's no stopping curiosity. I wanna turn the whole thing upside down. I'll find the things they say just can't be found. I'll share this love I find with everyone. We'll sing and dance to Mother Nature's songs. I don't want this feeling to go away.
Yeah, I noticed being out there myself that you kind of are a kid again, even though, you know, I'm a recent graduate from The Ohio State University. And just being out there for, you know, a couple hours, it brought me back to my childhood and the things that I used to do when I, like, explored in the forest or, you know, lifted logs or just playing in general. It's just, you know, you're brought back to that kid mindset and everything is at ease and you don't have the restrictions and you can just be a kid again. And I also was able to find two raccoons in the trees above one of the sample forts that you had. So that was an awesome experience in itself. So if it's the kid or the parent, specifically if they were to get lost or find that, okay, well, you know, I'm in this forested area, I'm not really sure where I am, what do you suggest?
There are lots of things. I think one of the nice things here in the Metro Parks is that most of our parks aren't too remote anymore. So always carrying a cell phone, knowing the ranger cell phone number or at least being able to contact somebody is a big thing. Most of the parks have some sort of natural boundary or some way that you would know where you are. At Three Creeks, for example, there's a trail that goes around our natural play area. So I always tell people, if you think you're lost, pick a direction and walk straight, and eventually you're going to run into the trail, and then you can find someone. And that's the case with a lot of the parks. You're going to run into the creek, you're going to fall, you know, run into a trail or a parking lot. So there's something that's going to kind of help guide you back to the beginning. But I would say from a parent's perspective, you know, giving your kids the freedom to run is great. But if you want to have a whistle and, you know, blow the whistle, and when they hear the whistle, they follow that sound back to you, or go play with them so that you can actually see where they are and kind of keep an eye on them as they're out there and enjoying themselves. At least when I've been out there with my own children, those are the things that I've looked for.
Once these kids are out and about and you can see, you know, their curiosity just, you know, going crazy and they're just into being outdoors and playing, how do you think the parents themselves can benefit from being outdoors?
I think it's nice. One of the things that we talked about doing and we haven't done yet is putting some benches in the natural play areas so the parents can actually sit and relax while their kids are out playing, whether they read a book, go bird watching, just sit and draw, journal, just sit and enjoy the natural world around them. We also have some geocaching programs that we do in the park. That's where you use a handheld GPS. So we're taking our technology outside. Again, kids are all about technology, adults too. So take that handheld GPS unit and go outside and go treasure hunting. And the natural play areas are perfect places to do that. So again, gives you a place to explore, something to do while you're out in the woods.
When are these natural play areas available to use?
The play areas are open year-round, so you can come out in the summertime and go play in the water, splash in the creek, but you can even come out in the winter, build a snow fort, go animal tracking in the wintertime when you can see their tracks in the snow, and then they're open as long as the park is open, so pay attention to park signs, and that'll let you know what time the park closes at night.
So what other popular programs do you have available year-round for the public?
Metroparks offers programs year-round, and they cover a variety of topics. We have preschool programs all the way up through our Metro 5-0, which are for adults over 50. They can be creaking, they can be hikes, tram rides, all sorts of different topics. We're always trying to make sure that we've got a variety to increase everybody's interest in the parks. And if people are looking to find out what programs we're offering, they can go to our website. It's metroparks.net. They can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. And then we also have a glossy magazine that's called The Park Scope that comes out quarterly. And that lists all the programs and also has some educational articles. Those are available at all the park bulletin boards. They also come out in the Dispatch. And you can contact Metro Parks and we can mail you a brochure as well.
There are so many things kids can do outdoors and in terms of being active and staying fit or just having fun. What types of activities do you suggest for parents who want to get their kids outdoors, not just to the metro parks, but even out in their own backyard or even one of the local playground areas?
You know, I think anytime you can give kids the freedom to just use their imagination and play, you know, whether it's in the backyard or at the park, it's a great idea. But if you're looking to guide them or give them some sort of a focus, you know, some sort of a scavenger hunt, whether it be see if you can find something from every color of the rainbow or the different textures that they can find. Having them look around for natural things versus unnatural things. You know, those are great guided activities that kind of give the kids something to do while they're out there and exploring.
Thanks so much, Jill Snyder. It was great talking with you. Again, if you would like to find out more information about the Natural Play Area programs, the parks themselves, or any other programs, please visit metroparks.net.
This has been another episode of Youth Beat Radio. You can find us online at youthbeat.osu.edu and on Facebook. You can email us at youthbeat@osu.edu. I'm your host, Samantha Widener, and thanks for listening.
Do you have what it takes to become the next Most Fit Buckeye? Join us May 12, 2012 at 10 a.m. to compete against dozens of other hopefuls vying for the title Most Fit Buckeye, a series of CrossFit events that will test your strength, stamina, and mental capabilities for a chance to win a collection of first place prizes. Brought to you by the Exercise Science Club. For information and registration, please email our team at osuexerciscienceclub@gmail.com. We'll see you there.
Youth Beat Radio is produced by youth from Central Ohio High Schools, youth groups, and universities. The show is sponsored by the School of Environment and Natural Resources at The Ohio State University, Ohio State University Extension, and local sponsors. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station or the sponsors.